frown is gonna turn into a smile. You woke up this morning, it's raining again. You wonder if the sun will ever shine. The smile at your face is wearing you down. The smile just takes too much strength to climb. Daylight's coming, you can see it beyond the ridge. The clouds are disappearing, the sun will shine again. Daylight's coming, just hold on a little while. The crown is gonna turn into smile. Find yourself in the dark again. The thunder rattles your head, your breath's taken by the wind. You're ready to give up, remember, just hold on. The darkest time, just before the dawn. The daylight's coming, you can see it beyond the reach. The clouds are disappearing, the sun's gonna shine again. Daylight's coming, just hold on a little while. Your crown is gonna turn into a smile. To keep trusting in the same. See the rainbow past the rain. Cause daylight's coming, you can see it beyond the reach. The clouds are disappearing, the sun's gonna shine again. Daylight's coming, just hold on a little while. Your frown is gonna turn into a smile. Daylight's coming, you can see it beyond the reach. The clouds are disappearing, the sun's gonna shine again. Daylight's coming, just hold on a little while. Your crown is gonna turn into a smile. Daylight's coming, oh, just hold on.
This next song I'm going to share with you guys, myself and a good friend of mine wrote this out in Nashville. Song just simply titled, The Old Family Bible.
Sitting in the corner of my old living room was our old family Bible that we had since 82. Its pages were ripped and torn, stained with mama's tears. She held it tight as she prayed for me throughout my childhood years. And mama held the words of Jesus while daddy held her hand, praying for her wayward child to find the promised land. And now that I am older, I look back to see the words in that family Bible gave mama hope to pray for me.
How many of you thankful for moms and dads that loved us enough to read God's word to us, amen, and pray for us, amen?
Now mama opened that tattered book every single day. I walked in on her several times, holding it as she prayed. She said, Father, forgive me and bring my son back to me. Just to give him one more chance, Lord, reunite our family. And mama held the words of Jesus while daddy held her hand, praying for her wayward child to find the promised land. And now that I am older, I look back to see the words in that family Bible and mama hope to pray for me.
Now God must have listened when he heard my mama pray. Cause in the spring of 96, mama's boy got saved. And mama held the words of Jesus while daddy held her hand, praying for her wayward child to find the promised land. And now that I am older, I look back to see the words in that family Bible gave mama hope to pray for me. Yes, it was that old family Bible gave mama hope to pray for me.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful for that old family Bible? I'm going to take just a moment to introduce myself to you. My name is Sean Klein, originally from Troutman, North Carolina. Grew up in Troutman and actually moved to Lenore about 5 years ago. And have been traveling and singing full-time in what they call Christian country music. And I get to travel all across the country and share what God is doing. Right now, currently, we're on this tour called Everyone Has a Story. And, of course, every song that you hear tonight, it goes right along with that theme and is on our current album called Everyone Has a Story. A couple of the songs you've probably heard on Glory 1130 as well. I know he's been playing a couple of the tunes, including our new radio release that I'm going to be sharing with you here in just a few moments. But this next song I want to share with you has become one of my fun ones. All right, every album that I've ever done, I've always put a fun song on there, something that was just fun and exciting. And you know, how many of y'all believe God's got a sense of humor? How many of y'all believe it's all right to smile a little bit?
It is.
All right? You know, I believe many times in our churches, we get too complacent where we just sit there and we don't want to smile. You know, if we smile, then the entire world's going to shut down. All right? That's just how it is. So needless to say, we as Christians, we should be the happiest people in the world. And you know, every single day that we wake up, we start to write a brand new page in our story. Now, let me ask y'all this. How many of y'all like to read books? All right? So how many of you, when you read books, the books that you like to read, are they just filled with good things or is there bad and ugly in there too to make up the story? You got to have the bad and the ugly to make the story up, right? Well, folks, can I tell you, that's kind of like how our life is here as Christians. You know, many times we as Christians, we only want to share the good things in our life, the things that's going to pat us on the back and make us look good in front of everybody. But it's the bad and it's the ugly that God's favorite time to move is. And when you share the bad and the ugly things in your life with folks that are all around you, can I tell you that God takes glory for that, because then you can turn around and say, this might have been bad and ugly, but let me tell you what God did in my life. And so, you know, that's why God wants us to share our story each and every day. Well, needless to say, I was out in Nashville. Not only do I travel and sing, but I'm also a songwriter for a lot of today's top artists. And I was out in Nashville. We had just finished up a writing session. And I went across the street to a little diner that was right across from our publishing company. And I walked over, sat down, and this little man and woman came in. He ordered him a cup of coffee. And he grabbed his cup of coffee and set it down. And he said something. When he did, he turned this way and his elbow hit that cup of coffee. And that coffee went all over him, all over his wife, and everywhere else. And that sweet little godly woman that was smiling the whole time gave him that look of, I can't hurt you in here, but you just wait till we get in private. Now, how many of you men have seen that look that I'm talking about here this evening? And how many of you ladies have given that look that we're sitting here talking about here tonight? So needless to say, we're all on the same page. Well, I was throwing every napkin in the book to hand to this guy and trying to help him out. He looked over at his wife and he said, darling, he said, bad's not really bad when Jesus is the best thing you have. And she looked at him and she said, I would agree. He said, do you love Jesus? And he said, and she smiled at him and she said, yes. And he said, well, if you love Jesus, that means you can't be mad at me. She said, no. She said, the Bible told me that even Jesus got angry, but he didn't sin. She said, I'm angry and I'm doing my best not to sin right here tonight. Can I tell you that I started dying a laughing right there, and my buddy that was a songwriter, looked at me and he said, we need to write that right there. So we sat down and we took things that we as individuals and we as Americans have in our life and different situations that we have, and we put it together and created this little song called Bad's Not Really Bad When He's the Best Thing You Ever Had. So I took it in the studio and I told the boys, I said, all right, guys, I said, here you go. I said, here's your song. I'm going to let y'all have fun with it because it's just got that cool little feel to it. Well, my drummer was getting married in about 2 weeks after our studio session day, and they were going to the Caribbean on their honeymoon. So he felt like I need a little what they called Caribbean Christian country music, all right? So I'm going to go ahead and warn you, this is one of those songs that might make you do the hula just a little bit right in the church, all right? Just don't tell nobody, amen? But I want to share this with you. It's a little song simply entitled, Bad's Not Really Bad When He's the Best Thing You Ever Had.
5 years down the train, she told me back up and move away. Was all this my fault? The job that supported my family, moved the plan overseas. Where did life go wrong? Even on the worst day of my life, God was still right by my side. 'Cause bad's not really bad when He's the best thing you ever had. And it took some time to see that sad's not really sad when you realize everything you've had, even if they're only memories. Time rolls by, life's too short to carry weight and old remorse. Bad's not really bad. Bad's not really bad. Storm destroyed our little town, leveled everything to the ground. But at least we all were safe. We lost everything in the fire, wrapped around the tree when we blew the tire. But at least we were okay. Even on the worst day of our lives, God was still right by our side. 'Cause bad's not really bad when He's the best thing you ever had. And it took some time to see that sad's not really sad when you realize everything you had, even if they're only memories. Time rolls by, life's too short to carry weight and all remorse. Bad's not really bad. Bad's not really bad. If I'd have known then what I know now, I'd see you learn the most when you're down. 'Cause bad's not really bad when He's the best thing you ever had. And it took some time to see that sad's not really sad when you realize everything you had, even if they're only memories. Time rolls by, life's too short to carry weight and old remorse. Bad's not really bad. Bad's not really bad. Bad's not really bad.
Amen.
Amen. All right. How many of y'all like washing dishes?
I hate it.
Anybody like washing dishes? I despise washing dishes. When I was growing up, every time I got in trouble, my mom would be like, guess who just scored themselves a night of washing dishes? Can I tell you, my mom had an ulterior motive because I got in trouble more than I was behaving, all right? So needless to say, that was just how things happened. And I'll never forget, I was driving down the road, and I had my mom with me. And obviously, she knew that everyone had a story, idea that we had. And a buddy of mine called me up. He said, man, look, he said, we've got a song that we think's got your name all over it. He said, I'm going to send it to you. And I was like, yeah, man, definitely. Send it on over. I'll take a listen to it. He's like, I really think you should put this on your next album. I said, all right, well, send it over. I'll listen to it. I said, what's the name of it? He said, Dirty Dishes. I looked at my mom and I said, I'm not singing no song about dirty dishes. My mama said, yes, you are. You need to listen to it because you promised him you would. So I listened to that, and folks, can I tell you, by the time the end of the song was over, I looked over at my mom and I knew I was in trouble. My mama's just a bawling. It had already passed the mama crying test, and I knew right then what was going to happen. My mom looked at me and she said, I don't care if you like the song or if you hated it, you're going to sing it because I'm your mama. Do you understand me? And I said, yes, ma'am. So on our the day January the 2nd of this year, when we released this new album, we did a big album release party. And I was fixed ready to go out and sing it. My mom was backstage with me. And I handed my mama my very first copy of the new album. And I said, Mama, there's 9 songs on this album that's going to do great. I said, and there's one that I just put on there because my mama said so. I said, but it ain't going to do good for me. I said, so I just want you to know that. My mama looked at me and she said, son, I'm telling you, this song right here is going to be huge for you. You just need to listen to your mama. Well, folks, mama's been right. Everywhere I've gone, I've had at least one person come up to me after the service and say, I need the album with the song Dirty Dishes on it. They liked it so much. The record label liked it so much. We sent it out to national radio and doing very, very well. You guys may have heard it on a little radio station I think y'all have local here called Glory 1130, I think is the name of it. I don't know if y'all heard of that or not, but it's just barely. You've never heard of it? Somehow he's a lion in church. We're going to go straight to the altar call right now. Amen.
Yeah, right now. Hurry.
That's right. Hurry. Get him up here for sure. But I want to share this song with you. For those of you that haven't heard the song, it just simply is entitled Dirty Dishes. You know, every time I look over and there's dishes in the sink, we shouldn't just be saying, oh man, I don't want to do these dishes. But we should be thanking God for the food that he put on those dishes for us. Mama hollers supper time. Don't make me tell you twice, wash your hands and wipe your face. The table's no place for your toys. Try to use your inside voice. Don't dig in till we say grace. So we put down our forks and bowed our heads. Then she prayed the strangest prayer ever said. I want to thank you, Lord, for noisy children slamming doors, your clothes scattered all over the floor, your husband working all the time, dragging in dead tired at night. Never ending messy kitchen and dirty dishes. We all got real still and quiet. Daddy asked, hun, are you alright? She said, there ain't nothing wrong. Noisy kids are happy kids, slamming doors just to make we live in a warm and loving home. Your long hours and those dishes in the sink means a job and enough to eat. So I'm gonna thank you, Lord, for noisy children slamming doors, clothes scattered all over the floor, husband working all the time, dragging in dead tired at night, a never ending messy kitchen, a little busy pace, begging mama, mama can't. Always want me and calling me. Loads of laundry piling up, crayons crushed into the rug, and those little sticky kisses. Dirty dishes. Dirty dishes. This is our title track for our album and our tour for this year. Simply titled, Everyone Has a Story.
Somewhere right now, sitting in a lonely room, is a young man filled with hurt, his heart black and blue. Gun is in his hand, trigger ready to be drawn. Then he hears a friend on the other end of the phone. And everyone has a story. Every day we write a page. Some filled with joy and laughter, many with hatred and heartbreak. People around us are hurting. Let's share the hope and set us free. Everyone has a story God can use for a testimony. Everyone has a story God can use for a testimony. Somewhere right now the kids are tucked in bed. Mom and dad's on round three. Battle's raging again. He walked out for the last time. His house just ain't a home. The kids run down the stairs. Hugging mom cause daddy's gone. And everyone has a story. Every day we write a page. Some filled with joy and laughter. Many with hatred and heartbreak. People around us are hurting. Let's share the hope and set us free. Everyone has a story God can use for a testimony. Everyone has a story God can use for a testimony. So no matter where you are right now, in your weakness you're made strong. God can take your story, and victory is your song. And everyone has a story. Every day we write a page. Some filled with joy and laughter, many with hatred and heartbreak. People around us are hurting. Let's share the hope, set us free. Everyone has a story God can use for a testimony. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You know, folks, how true that is, that each and every one of us has a story. And every single day we're writing a brand new page. I wrote that song about 3 years ago for an artist out in Oklahoma. About 2 days before they were going in to record the song and cut it, they called me up and told me that their band had disbanded. And they're not going to be singing it. They're not doing a CD or anything. And I was really disappointed. I was like, Lord, I said, I felt like that would be a song that could really get out there and touch lives. So I stuck it back in my little catalog of books or of songs that I've got there at the house and didn't think anything about it. And many times I'd gone through that catalog to look for songs and nothing ever hit me until May of last year when I found that song again. I was like, wait a minute, that's the exact title of what I'm doing for this year. So I took it out and I said, Lord, maybe you had me write it for myself just 3 years ago. But folks, can I be honest with you? I had no clue what God was doing. And on August the 30th of 2018, Satan himself started fighting in ways that I'd have never imagined. Using people in my life that I loved with all my heart to turn their backs on me, to look me in the eye. Somebody that I loved with all my heart looked at me right in the eye and said, you know what? What you're doing is a joke. You're a failure now. You'll always be a failure. You might as well just quit. Because nobody listens and nobody cares. The whole month of September, whole month of October, Satan just kept on and on and on. And folks, I was faking it until I made it. Every single service I was in, I put the fakest smile on my face that you could ever imagine. And I faked it till I made it. And on November the 1st of 2018, if you remember back to that first verse that I just sang for you about that young man with the gun in his hand, that young man was me on November the 1st of 2018. Why? Because I felt like my entire world had started crashing in on me and nobody cared. I'd be standing in a room filled with hundreds of people and I was the only one there singing. And you know, my mom had this thing every time that I called her and I wanted to do something off the wall crazy with my music or whatever. My mom would always make this statement, well, son, whatever you feels best, I'll support you. Now, my mom knew what was going on in my life, but she didn't know how bad things had gotten and what I was thinking in my head. And can I tell you that all I needed to do is I'm sitting there in my driveway on November 1st, sitting here thinking to myself, I just need my mama to tell me it's all right. And I can make it happen. So I called her up and I said, Mom. I said, Mom, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to sing. I don't want to write. I don't want to travel. I'm just done. I don't want to do this anymore. I said, so Mom, I'm stopping. And I paused and I waited for my mom to say that little phrase. But she didn't say that. My mama said, well, let me get on Facebook and tell all my friends that my oldest son's a quitter. That made me mad. Because that's not what mama's supposed to say. And I said, Mama, what are you doing? She's like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If you're going to quit, you're a quitter. She said, and that just might make your little brother my favorite son. And folks, them are fight words right there now. And I said, Mama, you just don't get it. She said, son, she said, just do me a favor. She said, will you give God 24 hours? And if he don't show you a neon sign in 24 hours, she said, you can quit and I'll never say a word. You know what I thought? I thought to myself, God do something in 24 hours, that ain't going to happen. Come on now. So I said, all right, Mom, I'll do that. So I went in the house and I got that pizza out of the freezer. No more than I got it into the oven. A buddy of mine shot me a text and this is what the text said. The greatest warriors must fight the toughest battles to be recognized as a warrior. Now think about that a minute. When we look through American history, we don't learn about people that just ate donuts or had it easy, right? We learn about the ones who had to fight for it and who were actual warriors within their specific craft. You know what I said at that moment? Lord, that must be a coincidence. You're going to have to do better now. Anybody ever said that? Y'all must be way more religious than me. Not one of you raised your hand. But I did. There you go. He'll raise two. There we go. So here I'm sitting there. I'm thinking, Lord, Derek, no way. This is a coincidence, right? So now, God only had 23 hours and 40 minutes left. That's all he had left. No way he was going to be able to do something. I got that pizza out and I was cutting it. A buddy of mine I went to high school with, who's now a chaplain down in Florida, called me up. He said, man, I need to talk to you. I said, what's that? He had no clue what was going on in my life. He said, I've had you on my mind all day. He said, so I just need to know something. He said, because I know I'm overreacting. He said, but I just need you to tell me I'm wrong. And I said, what do you mean, man? I don't understand. He said, I have this feeling that you're trying to throw in the towel and you're quitting. He said, are you done? He said, are you literally giving up your ministry? He had absolutely no clue what was going on in my life at that point. And I didn't say a word. And he asked me again and I said, yes, man. I said, I am. I said, I'm done. I'm tired. I said, nobody cares. I could show up at churches and they could care less if I'm there or not. said, so I'm done. And he made this statement to me. He said, well, man, he said, let me ask you this. He said, how many times have you been beaten to a pulp for no one has a clue that you're a human being? And I said, I've not been. He said, how many times have you been crucified on a cross? I said, I've not. He said, so let me get this straight. You're going to walk a little further. You're going to get there and things are going to get tough and you're going to quit. But yet the one who gave you the strength to walk anyway went all the way so that you could quit on him. Folks, right there in the middle of my living room, I broke down. Because he asked me this question. He said, every single time that we start to quit on God, does he hear that crowd cry out, crucify again? Can he relive those moments with those nails in his hands and in his feet? Folks, can I tell you, I called my mama back. And I told mama, I said, mama, I can't quit. She said, of course you can't. I'm a praying mama and God wasn't going to let that happen anyway. She said, son, there's something you need to learn. God loves him some praying mamas. And she said, you can't beat them, so you might as well not even try. And how true was that?
Amen.
How true was that? So folks, I was excited. I got my real smile back. I was ready to rock and roll that next Sunday. I got to that church. I got up there and I started singing. I was jumping around like this. I couldn't hold still. I looked like Dolly Parton even on my slow songs. I'm not kidding. I was getting excited. And I just knew I couldn't wait to that invitation because the Lord was going to fill up that altar and somebody was going to get saved and it was going to be great. And you know what? I knew it was coming. And I got to that invitation time and boy, I gave an invitation and when I did, I sang my song. And not one person came forward. I put my microphone down and I started walking to the back of the church. Thinking to myself, Lord, why in the world? You just let me learn an awesome lesson this week. I said, and I really thought you were going to do something. You let me down, Lord. That's what I said that Sunday morning. I got to the back of the church. Young man, age of 25 years old, came walking out behind me. It's a Sunday morning, I'll never forget it. I had a suit jacket on with a shirt and some jeans. And when I walked out, I turned around, and when I did, that young man's hand grabbed me by the shirt, and his other finger was right here in my face, right in the vestibule of the church. He said, it is your fault that I'm not dead right now. And I looked at him, I was like, man, what are you talking about? He said, if you walked out to my truck right now, he said, there's a shotgun and there's a suicide letter laying in my front seat. And I looked at him, I was like, well, man, I'm glad you're here. You've not committed suicide. I said, but why am I the reason you didn't do it? I don't get it. And he looked at me and he said, man, yesterday, he said, my girlfriend broke up with me. He said, I was going to ask her to marry me. He said, I bought the ring. I bought everything. He said, she broke up with me. He said, and a half mile down the road, he said, there's a park that me and her met. And he said, I was on my way this morning. He said, as I was passing this church, he said, I looked over and there was a young man in the parking lot, the only person in the parking lot, and he looked up and waved at me. And he said, I got down a half mile to that park. And he said, when I got there, the first thing I thought of was, why did he wave at me? And he said, I sat there for about 20, 30 minutes. He said, then I turned around and I came back to the church. He said, I've been sitting in this parking lot for 30 minutes. He said, never have I ever stepped foot in that church. He said, and I walked in and lo and behold, the same guy that waved at me was the same guy standing up there singing. He looked at me. He said, man, he said, I don't need that suicide letter and I don't need that shotgun. He said, what I need is I need to know the guy you were talking about that actually loves me. Yeah. And folks, right there in that vestibule, yeah. I knelt down. And that young man invited Jesus Christ into his heart.
Amen.
Folks, tonight I'm going to share this with you. I got one more song and I'll hush, I promise. But can I tell you guys tonight this simple thing? Every one of us has a story that God can use for a testimony.
Amen.
We've just got to let Him do it. You know, many times, just like I said earlier, many times we only want to share the good stuff. How many of that's you? You just want to share the good stuff. You don't want people to know about the dirty dishes. You just want them to know about the clean house. Amen? Boy, y'all got real quiet real quick. But am I right? You don't want people to know. If somebody's coming over to the think about this. Let's say Philip called you up and said, I'm on my way to your house. What you going to be doing? You're going to be grabbing everything and throwing it under beds. You're going to throw it in closets. You're going to do whatever you can. Because when he gets there, you want him to think you got it all together, right?
Yep.
Because you'd be embarrassed.
Every day. I don't do that.
There you go. Thank you for ruining my explanation.
I'm just kidding.
Amen. But think about it. You don't want, when somebody's coming over, you don't want them to see the ugly side of it, the bad side, that you just want them to see how good you are.
Yep. Yep.
Folks, can I tell you, there's people out there that you and I look at every single day. It's going through the exact same things that we've gone through. The only difference is, we know Jesus Christ. We have the hope of Jesus. They don't.
Amen.
And so we can take our bad and our ugly and show them what God's done and lead them to Jesus. Every morning that we wake up, folks, we start another page. Sometimes this page is filled with heartache. Sometimes this page is filled with laughter. Sometimes this page is filled with joy. But every single day we write another page. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're going through something. And you'll be sitting there saying, I just don't understand it. Trust me, I've been there. Because you know, when you're in ministry and you travel full time in ministry, y'all wouldn't like me very well if I just stood up here and told you I stumped my big toe this morning. And this and that and the other. You know, our job is to give hope and encouragement. And many times, folks, for those 2 months I was telling you about, those 2 months, all I did was fake it till I made it. Why? Because I didn't want nobody to see the bad and the ugly. Because my job was to give you hope and encouragement. Many times, folks, that's our problem. Things become a job instead of a ministry. And that's what happened to me. But tonight, if you're sitting here and you're saying, Shalom, I'm going through something right now that I don't understand. Can I tell you, all you need to do is just look up and smile a little bit, because that means Satan is fighting you. Why is he fighting you? Because you're a warrior. I'm going to share this story and I'm going to sing a song and I'll hush. I'll have y'all out by 8:30, I promise.
They've heard that.
Y'all get that in a minute. Amen.
Who do you think
I got it from?
That's,
amen.
That's not a joke, kid.
There you go. All right. He's like, that's the real deal. Amen. But folks, can I tell you that 2 weeks after all that happened to me, I was down in Georgia. Now, and I'm a Panthers fan. I love me some Carolina Panthers. And obviously, they were playing a team that had absolutely nothing to do with Georgia, so there was not one radio station in the whole state of Georgia that had this ball game on. So I had my ESPN app up. And the Panthers were losing 21-0, go figure, with 9 minutes and 40 seconds left to go in the game. And I'm sitting here thinking, there's no way. They're done. Done. They done lost it. So I turned my ESPN app off and I turned my music up and headed on to the church just south of Atlanta. Got there, and when I did, I had a buddy call me up, and he's like, man, did you see that comeback? And I said, do what? And sure enough, the Panthers had scored 24 points in 9 minutes and 40 seconds to come back and win 24-21. I got off the phone with him, and I just sat there, and I was kind of contemplating in my mind what just happened. Because as a Panther fan, that don't happen. And it was just like God just opened up the door of my truck, jumped there in the front seat, or slammed the door back, and he said, guess what? We're going to learn a lesson right here. And then I got to thinking about this. Folks, can I tell you, the Panthers had two options. 9 minutes and 40 seconds down 21 points. It don't look very promising, does it? And half of the fans, including somebody that calls himself the biggest Panthers fan, had already turned my back on them and said, there ain't no way. So their fans walked. Panthers had two choices. Number one, they could have followed their fans and lost that game. Mm-hmm. Or number two, they could have kept fighting to that final buzzer rings, even when it got tough. Folks, can I tell you, I honestly believe Satan himself knows there's only 9 minutes and 40 seconds left in this little game that we call life. And we as Christians have one of two choices. We can either A, keep fighting as hard as we can, or B, we can give up. Be comfortable on our church pews, but don't ask us to do anything else. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you say, well, Shellam, Satan must be scared of me because he's not messing with me. No, that's not the case. If Satan's not messing with you, you might ought to check up because you're not a threat to him. You're not a threat to him. He's only got 9 minutes and 40 seconds left to play. So why in the world does he need to bother with somebody that's not doing anything for God? You want to know who your warriors are? It's the ones that Satan's fighting the hardest. That is who your warriors are. And can you imagine when that final buzzer rings and we're all gathered around the throne there in heaven, what stories we'll be able to share? Can I stand here and tell you that everything in my life's together? No. Can I stand here and tell you that the situation that I was going through was taken care of? No. Do I still wake up some morning saying, Lord, I still don't understand? Yes, I do. But folks, I've read the back of the book. And I know how this thing's going to win. And I know that God Himself has a plan. And I'm writing a story right now that God can use for a testimony. Amen. So tonight, as I share this last song with you, no matter what storm you're going through right now, no matter where you're at in your life, can I tell you that God's still God. And you just got to let God be God. And let God help you write a story that's going to lead others straight to Him.
Storm has come, winds began to blow. The rain is beating in your face, you can't even see the road. You wonder if you'll make it through this storm. Your ship is sinking. It's so bad and warm, but God's still God in the midst of the storm. You gotta trust in His plan. He knows what He's doing. He's never left you. He's gonna catch you if you fall. God's still God, and He's been with you through it all. Your marriage is in ruins, the doctor said your time has come. You've lost all your money and you have nowhere else to run. You feel your friends turn against you and all you can do is fail. Keep trusting in the Savior, cause you know He will prevail. Cause God's still God in the midst of the storm. You gotta trust in His plan. He knows what He's doing. He's never left you. He's gonna catch you when you fall. God's still God. He's been with you through it all. You're tired, you're scared, you're beaten down. Satan says that he has won. Just remind him who you belong to. And you are covered by the blood. Cause God's still God in the midst. gotta trust in his plan. He knows what he's doing. He's there to lift you. He's gonna catch you when you fall. God's still God. He's been with you through it all. All through it all. God's still God. He's been with you through it all.
Amen. Again, folks, tonight, let me just share this with you and I'm done. Tonight, if you're fighting a storm and you're sitting there and you're thinking, how in the world am I going to make it through? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've got that fake smile on your face. No one has a clue of the pain you're in. Can I tell you, it's a whole lot easier just to give it up and let God give you your real smile back. So that way you can keep going for the last 9 minutes and 40 seconds of this little thing called life. Every one of us has a story. And every one of our stories are different. Yeah. Are we ready and willing to allow God to work in our stories? Not just the good, but in the bad and in the ugly. Are we ready and willing to allow God to work through our stories? So that we can have a testimony that's like none other. And share our story with folks that are in desperate need of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you tonight. I hope that something I've sung, something I've said has been a blessing to you. Maybe put a smile on your face tonight and maybe encourage you a little bit to be the very best Christian that you can be. And I'm going to ask you if you would please to keep me in your prayers. Because you know what? I want to be in God's will and not in His way. Because when we're in God's way, that's where things get bad. But I want to be in His will. So far this year, we've seen 9 souls come to know the Lord as their Savior. 9. That's 9 more Satan don't have. So I'm going to ask that you continue to pray that God will keep moving. And that we will continue to do what He's wanting us to do. As we travel across this country. And share our story with folks that are going through the exact same thing. Every single day. Thank you very much.
I have to admit that I know a lot more of the story than y'all did before tonight. But everything he told you is true about himself, because I was one of the lucky souls that he called one night and said, I need prayer. And that's the kind of friendship that we've got. I mean, if we've got a problem... I almost broke into vanilla ice right there. It's not good. But if we've got a problem, we'll call each other and say, hey, this is what's going on. We work together well with getting music to each other for radio and different things like that as well. But, I mean, just the other day I called him and said, hey, I've got a song you've got to hear. I said, this guy sent me this song. He wants me to play it on radio. I think it'd be good for something you're doing. So I sent it to him. I don't know what's going to come of that, and I'm not worried about it right now, but that's the kind of friendship we've had. And so everything he's been going through in the last year, it's touched my life in a way too, because I've been able to pray for him, I've been able to be there for him, and you know, he was supposed to come during revival. And this is the one that I told you that night. I said, well, I have to sing, because his grandmother, I think it was his grandmother, fell while they were at the beach. And they're still at the beach because they had to stay extra days because she had to go into surgery. This is the guy. So there you go. But we, you know, we were praying for his grandmother that week, and we still had a blessed revival, and I promised him we were going to get him back up here. And I don't think that it was an accident. It happened this week, rather. You know, as I told you guys this morning, we may be small in number, but I think everybody's here for a purpose. And everybody here goes through a difficult time. We all have a story, as he said. So, that being said, his story is able to be told because of the churches he goes into and the fact that they pass the plate or take up a love offering or different things like that. So I'm going to take a moment. And Joe, I would like to ask you to maybe pray over the offering, and then we'll pass the plate and do it that way, or would it be better just to stick it in the back? Anyway, all right, we'll pass the plate. And so if you've got a love offering, Joe, would you just pray over the offering and over his ministry?
Holy Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we thank you for the songs we've heard and the message we've received. And Father, we pray for our brother as he makes his rounds through the country and from church to church, and Father, that his message will not be silenced, that it be that your good news will be proclaimed, so that the souls that are out there perishing will be saved, Father, and that they'll come to you, and that they'll be able to receive the good news and know that there is hope, there is forgiveness, there is a better way in a better place. And Father, we ask that your blessings be upon this offering, that it will be a blessing to our brother here and the ministry that he's involved in. And I pray, Father, that you bless him and you help him continue to be with him in his travels, even tonight as he completes his journey home. Father, bless him and help him all the way, and be with him in all the work that he does, and in all the different programs he's involved in. Father, I pray that you be with him in all those things, so that people don't see him, but they see you. And it's in your Son Jesus' holy name I ask these things. Amen.
You want it?
Nope.
No. Right there, you don't get the play.
No, I'll give that to you in a minute.
Folks, I appreciate each of you coming out tonight. Pat, thank you for inviting people that should have been here this morning, Ernie. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I like to kid around. How's Jamie?
He's
doing better. Is he doing better? Okay. Because I hadn't had a chance to talk. Okay. But no, y'all, if you want a CD, I think he's got some available. I better get one for the station because you still haven't sent that to me. Uh-huh. No. You sent me dirty deeds.
Dirty deeds.
Dirty deeds is AC/DC. Pat knows. folks. I don't think it's an accident that Sheldon came tonight. I think it was a blessing. And I'm blessed to be his friend. I'm blessed that the Lord blessed my life with him. And I'm blessed that he's blessed the church. I enjoy doing music like this every once in a while. And that being said, nothing against Sheldon, but I've had a phone call in the last 2 weeks from someone that's been to this church many times and would like to come back. And he and I are going to work on him coming. You know him pretty well, Vicky. Mr. Collins? Jason has contacted me and wants to come. Everybody remember Jason?
Oh, yeah.
I think you got him here the first time, right?
I think.
And then he came to Minneapolis, and him and Dad developed a friendship. And
oh, yeah.
So he'd like to come back and sing sometime. I talked to him, and we're going to work with him on getting him here. I think Fortress is coming in July if they haven't canceled on us. So we've got that going on, huh?
They cancel, we can get him to come.
Well, I guess we could. Shelby, you free July 28th? Don't hold me to it yet. Just see if you are.
No, I'm in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Then no, he can't. He's going to be in Nashville. So, but we'll make it. We'll figure it out. Lord's got his plans, and we'll follow where he goes with it. So. But we do thank you for coming tonight. Has anybody got anything that they want to...
Are you free the 20-something of this
Are you free the 25th of June?
When we do our community dinner?
Yes. Do you want to drive up from Lenore and be fed and sing?
Praise the Lord. What day is that?
The 29th. It's a Saturday.
Now, I should tell you, we're not doing surf and turf.
I got you.
I'll just tell you that right now.
I'll actually be in Beckley, West Virginia.
Well, see, there you go. He travels a lot. I'll be honest with you.
I literally have two dates open for the rest of the year, and they both are in December.
Okay. So what are you doing around? You got a Christmas show?
Yes-ish. We're working on it.
Call me, we'll figure it out.
Yes. I get to dress up like Richard Simmons.
Okay, no, you're not coming.
So.
I'm going to make that call. Spirit doesn't need to speak about it.
It's like, no, thank you.
But thank you for coming. I'm just talking now because we never get out before 7 o'clock. It's 7:07 now, so I think I can just do this. You went too short. I didn't say you're not to be long winded. I just said sing more.
Oh, okay. There we go.
You can go sing some more.
If you want to, they'll stay until you guys. Pat won't leave until 8:15 because it gets dark at 8:30.
That's true.
But no, we do appreciate you coming. And Dickie, would you close the evening in prayer?
I'll be. Father in heaven, for this beautiful Lord's Day that you have blessed us with, and the privilege of being out to thy house twice now today to get a blessing. We truly thank you, Lord. We thank you for people like this young man that has dedicated his life to serving you and to singing these praises to you for the glory of you. We thank you, Father in heaven, for this little church and the memories we have of it. And pray thy blessings on it, Lord, that it might grow and prosper and that the pews might be filled once again. We thank you, Father in heaven, for Philip and his work at the radio station. I pray, Father, that it be a blessing to the community. Be with us now as we go home. Guide us to our safety and bring us back at the appointed time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. If y'all stay seated, when the song growl, get him to come back in here and sing. I'm sorry for whatever lies Pat told you I said this morning. I'm just kidding. You didn't even tell me what I said? I told her that. I told her, I said, Mildred promised she'd come sometime. And I said, you tell her today's the day. Tell her I said today's the day.
I don't think they have a bad part of town.
Yeah.